Up next, a smashing success at the world's largest physics experiment. After being shut down for months of repairs, the Large Hadron Collider, you know, that's that giant super collider that's colliding particles together on the border of France and Switzerland. The LHC, it's up and running again, and on Tuesday, physicists flipped the switch, sent the particles beams going in different directions right at each other, and they've already set a world record. The particles met at a record-breaking 7 trillion electrical volts. And joining me now to talk about what all these numbers mean and how much research we can expect to see coming out of it now that it's up and running is Howard Gordon. He is the Deputy Operations Program Manager for U.S. Atlas Operations at CERN, and he's also a senior scientist at Brookhaven National Lab out there in Long Island and Upton. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira. Nice to talk to you.
Everybody very excited.
We're having a great week. It was spectacular to be able to sit here in New York and watch on the web all of our colleagues in Switzerland, as you say, colliding those protons together and seeing the first collisions. And actually, we were able to take that data across the Atlantic on the fibers and analyze them here in the U.S.
What does it mean, 7 teravolts, volts?
It's tera electron volts. So as you said, each beam of protons has about 3.5 trillion electron volts. One and a half electron volts would be the energy you would get from a flashlight battery. So you just have to multiply that by 3.5 trillion to see the energy that's in that proton. They go very close to the speed of light, and what we do is we use Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared, to take the energy and produce some mass. And so we're producing new particles, hopefully, that will give us some understanding of the universe that we're living in.
Now, the more electron volts you have, does that give you a bigger mass?
What really happens is the proton is not an elementary particle. Mm-hmm. Proton is made out of three, what we call valence quarks, held together by the strong force, or the gluons. What we're really interested in is colliding the quarks or the gluons together. So the higher the energy the protons have, the more energy those quarks or gluons have, and that's what we need to produce the higher mass.
Mm-hmm. And how long before we start seeing, you know, any results? You have a lot of data coming out.
Right.
How about
so
the results?
We have to, as the director general of CERN said this week, we have to have a little bit of patience. We expect to run this year and next. And we could have some discoveries by the end of next year, depending on how lucky we are. But the energy will only be, as you said, 7 trillion electron volts. That's half the design energy of the LHC. Then in 2012, the machine will be off for some repairs. And hopefully in 2013, the full energy or near the full energy will be achieved. And then the window of opportunity will actually be larger. So we could see some results at the end of next year or the following year, but more likely for some of the more difficult experiments, like the question of what gives particles their mass, the Higgs boson,
right. It
might take another couple of years.
So you have to get all the way up to full operating power before you get to the Higgs level?
It depends on what the mass of the Higgs is. The Higgs mass is something we don't know. If it happened to be something within our reach, we would see it in the next couple of years, but more likely, in order to have a complete survey, we need the full energy of the LHC.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. And the Higgs is a holy grail because why?
Well, it's a theoretical conjecture that the world has a Higgs field, and as particles move through that field, they acquire mass, because otherwise we don't understand what gives particles their mass. Mm. And we think that this collider will actually be able to answer that question. Even if the Higgs doesn't exist, there might be something else that we would see in that energy region.
So there's a standard model of how the world works, of what the
correct
and the Higgs is a particle that fits into that equation.
It's conjectured. It's part of a theoretical framework. But until it's actually seen experimentally, we don't know if this conjecture is true.
Mm-hmm. There are scientists I have spoken to who said they would love nothing better than not to see the Higgs.
Well, that's the opportunity. There's always the unexpected. As I said, when we get to the full intensity and the full energy of this machine, we'll be able to have a huge window of opportunity that we haven't seen before, and we know that for sure. And so to find something that we didn't even expect, and this has happened in the past with opportunities, once you have a new regime that you can study, then you sometimes find things that you didn't even expect.
Now, the Higgs belongs to a family of something of particles that are called supersymmetry.
No.
Am I wrong about that? There may be
supersymmetric Higgs. So there could be.
But that's part of the theory, is that there would be a Higgs.
There doesn't have to be. So there is another possibility that there would be supersymmetric particles produced at the LHC, and there could be a supersymmetric Higgs as well, because for every particle there might be a supersymmetric particle. So if there's a standard Higgs, there could be a supersymmetric Higgs, or a standard quark, there would be a supersymmetric quark. The reason why the supersymmetry concept is gets a lot of attention is that it could be the source of the dark energy in the universe that we don't know why there's dark energy, actually. You know, about six times as much mass as we can see from all the stars and planets and everything that we can see in the universe, including our own bodies and everything. We're only one-sixth of all the total mass that's in the universe. That dark energy is something which is a big mystery, and we might have an opportunity to see it at the Large Hadron Collider.
Would we see the dark mass also?
The dark matter. Yes, the dark matter.
The dark matter, not the energy.
No, not the dark energy. The dark energy is the thing that we think is causing the universe to accelerate. We see that from the supernova. And we won't actually touch that in the Large Hadron Collider. We won't be able to address that. That's being addressed by other experiments.
Will results answer anything about string theory, or whether we should say goodbye to it or not?
Well, there are a lot of theorists that feel that we might be able to see extra dimensions at the Large Hadron Collider. You know, gravity is very weak, and one reason why it might be weak is that it finds itself strong in other dimensions. And we could see some very spectacular events at our experiments that would be evidence of extra dimensions. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing which people are very excited about. Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Super Collider at Science Friday from NPR, I'm Ira Flatto talking with Howard Gordon. People are quite excited this week. Will the excitement continue, or is it going to die down a little bit as they have to actually now start sifting through the data and do the hard work?
Well, I think that it'll be exciting because everything that we measure at this energy is going to be something new. We see the first distributions of particles, and we have to rediscover all the standard model particles that you mentioned before, the W and the Z, the boson, the top quark, things that have been discovered in the past, but we'll be studying them in a new light at a new energy range. And so that will be exciting, and I think that excitement will continue throughout the next several years.
Let me get a question or two in, if I can. Let's go to Sharon in Hollywood, Florida. Hi, Sharon.
Hi there. I have a question for you which concerns me. What's going to happen to Fermilab in Batavia, Illinois? And
or Brookhaven.
Lack of funding.
Or Brookhaven out in Long Island.
Well, right. My daughter worked at the one in Batavia, so I'm more familiar with it.
Okay.
I think, first of all, Fermilab has a great chance of discovering the Higgs boson in the next couple of years while the LHC comes up to full potential. And it would be nothing better than if the U.S. could discover the Higgs boson there. They're going to be running. But then it's going to phase out, the Tevatron will phase out, and Fermilab is looking for its next role, and there's a lot of discussion about that. So I think the future of Fermilab is something which will continue, but it will go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dick in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. Hi, Dick.
Hi, Hopkinton. There's no king in Hopkinton. I am a point geek, and I was wondering if the LHC at Home project, what sort of contribution has that really made to the design and fine-tuning of the LHC?
I know that people are advertising that you can contribute your computer to the analysis of data, but I have to be honest with you that I'm not sure that it's going to make a significant contribution. The amount of computing that's necessary to do the analysis is huge. The amount of data that we produce in a single second before we filter it is equivalent to a stack of CDs about a mile high without any plastic cases. And in 1 year, we produce that much data totally for analysis in each of the major experiments, the four major experiments. So it takes huge computing power, and the computing is distributed over all the world, but it's concentrated in large centers, like there is one at Brookhaven, and there are several other centers in the U.S.
So is the data all distributed around? Different people take different parts of it,
yes,
and examine it?
That's right.
Now, what part do you have? Do you have a piece of that data coming your way?
We have all the data that was taken this week, and we're starting to analyze it already.
Mm-hmm. So are people surprised no giant black hole didn't form when this thing? Are they upset?
I wasn't surprised, but I saw the headline in the New York Post that the world doesn't end, and my brother is always giving me trouble about this. But we know from the fact that cosmic rays actually produce higher energy collisions, and if you look at the cosmic rays that have been striking all over the universe, there would be evidence of such a black hole if it existed, if the kind of catastrophic black hole. We would be lucky to see these kind of microscopic black holes that could be produced. They would evaporate very quickly and give a spectacular signature in our detector, but they wouldn't do any harm.
But could you actually make one, see one?
Well, it's possible, but we don't know. We have to do the experiment.
And could you do it at the energies you have now?
It's possible. I can't promise, but it's certainly possible.
Are you ready to start another headline right here?
No, not today. We haven't seen one yet.
that would be the headline. We haven't seen one yet. You could say that about UFOs also. But
we're looking for, as we said before, the things that are unexpected are the most exciting, in the sense that you don't know what you're going to find. It's a new energy region, so we have to see what we can find.
Well, Dr. Gordon, good luck to you.
Okay.
And thank you for congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a great week.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've been working in this area of physics for longer than I want to admit.
me too.
Thank you, Ira.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Howard Gordon is the Deputy Operations Program Manager for U.S. Atlas Operations at CERN. He's also a senior scientist at Brookhaven National Lab in Upton, New York. Our program is produced by Christopher Intagliata, senior producer Annette Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Shelley Du Bois, our Sci Arts producer. Alicia Bayak is our Spanish language producer, and Manya is at the controls here in New York, while Neil Rausch, our technical director, is out today. We had help in Second Life from Lynn Collins, Dave Andrews, Jeff Corbin, and the University of Denver. And if you missed any part of what we talked about today, you can surf over to our website and leave some comments up there about what you just heard. Get some comments going. Also, we're podcasting and blogging and tweeting, so you can continue the conversation that way. And if you missed any part of the program, we'll have it up there soon in a podcast, and you can subscribe to it. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.